placebo for listening to the NASA vending machine, the Soviet version. This is Star City, episode 5. We're going to be talking about on the NASA vending machine. I'm Jason Snell, joined as always by my comrade, Tovarish Dan Morin. Hello.
Здравствуйте, Jason.
Bite Your Elbow is the name of this episode.
I kept wondering, is like this going to be a like an idiom, like an expression? Is it going to be somebody actually biting their elbow? I actually don't know that we get an answer to that.
I don't know. Anyway, this you texted me because you had seen it and I hadn't watched it yet, and you just called it, said it was a banger. It's a banger.
I thought so. It is. I was on the edge of my seat for several parts of this. I thought it was really well done.
Yeah. Why'd you buy the whole seat? You only need the edge.
Only gonna need the edge. Yeah. So I thought, you know, we hit the halfway mark at the end of last week's episode, and it felt like the, everything kind of hinged, right? Like, as I think it often, you know, a good show and it's halfway, you know, through a season storyline will be like, and now pivot. And I think that kind of happened last week as we ended on a bit of a cliffhanger. So buckle up, because here we go.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. So this episode picks up exactly where the last episode led off, which is Irina comes out of the bathroom where she has discovered definitively that Valya is the mole, who is responsible for the death of a cosmonaut and has been feeding, you know, data back to the Americans. And we learned that the Americans or other Western intelligence agencies had essentially been following Tanya in her dissident group, realized she was connected to a cosmonaut. This was going to allow them to blackmail him into revealing information in order to protect her, which is where they are. Irina has now discovered that this is going on. Bad news for Valya. She tries to act casual. She's like, Valya, coming home soon? Yeah. And remember, she also has to balance the fact that she knows intimate details about these people's lives that she's not supposed to know. She's kind of a random friend.
She's never even met Valya.
No.
Yeah.
And she goes into she's like, oh, this woman, did she seem Russian? Did she look like a foreigner?
a little heavy-handed she tries to get into this. But I mean, again, I like this evolution of Irina, because we don't... She's not a trained operative, right? She is kind of figuring this out, and she takes some initiative. She's got some chutzpah, but like, she doesn't really know what she's doing, and she's just kind of feeling her way through here.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And she decides to take the mask off, basically. So she's like,
I love this.
First off, you should go stay at your parents' dasha. Like, you gotta get out. And she's like, what are you talking about? She's like, I'm trying to protect you. She's like, I don't need your protection. She's like, listen to me. He's not who you think he is. He is working for the Americans. He will soon be arrested. She's like, you're a secretary. You're delusional. And she says, I'm not a secretary. I work in building 12. And she's like, oh, crap.
She doesn't even buy that. Yeah, right. And then she's like, hold on. And she starts tearing up the wallpaper. And it's like, here's where the microphones are.
Here is the listening device. I find Tanya an interesting character, right? Because she was a dissident. Now she's living this really circumscribed life in Star City, married to a cosmonaut. She's obviously unhappy. She's obviously unhappy in her marriage because she's cheating on Valya, even though he's incredibly devoted to her. And yet here she's so resistant on believing that there could be any truth in this. And it's I'm fascinated by the psychology of it, right? Because she's betrayed him, but also has a fondness for him. And, you know, the way I sort of have been thinking of it is even if she doesn't love her life, she's reluctant to give it up.
Right. I think her disaffection with Valya even just stems from her circumstances. I don't think she doesn't love him. I think she's still, like, as we've seen in sort of previous episodes, I think she is so shut down and, you know, impeded by this. Like, the moment
she's trapped.
See her kind of light. Yeah, exactly. We see her light up at a couple points. She loves music. And we see, like, both the illicit records she smuggled in, as well as teaching Irina's daughter. And also, I think the stuff with Sasha is really just about finding an outlet and being able to have some degree of control over her own life. And it's not even like she doesn't know that they're listening. I think she, you know, everybody here kind of assumes, right? This is kind of right. It's the open secret. Everybody knows they're being spied on. But it's one thing to think about that and another to come face to face with the person doing the listening.
Exactly. And I like the complexity, the fact that she can both be unfaithful to him and also be attached to him. And like, it's more complicated than that. It's not a broken relationship, even if she's being unfaithful to him. That there is fondness there as well, but she's kind of a mess and she's been trying to, you're right, exert what control she can in being hermetically sealed in Star City because of her husband's job. But it gets to this point where she's also, I mean, it's just like, basically what Irina's saying is, your life is over here. Like, this is it, because he's going to be, we know. And so he's going to be shot, basically. And you're going to be swept away in it, too, because you're his wife. So, interestingly, she's like, I like you enough as a person because of what I've listened to and because of our interactions that I don't want to see you take the fall, which is, I mean, it's a big move, right? Like, it would be much easier to just let her fall. But I think Irina is like, she's innocent. I don't want the innocent to go down with the guilty. He's guilty. She's not guilty. And she knows that that Tanya has no idea that this is going on. And so she's like, I can get you out, basically. And they're like, they've been, you know, I'll erase the recording. Don't worry about it. And then that, like, have you listened to us, to me? And she's like,
yeah, I'm not going to say anything about that. Right. And we've seen her do these things in the past. Like, you know, she erased evidence of her own, you know, comments last time.
Handy magnet.
Yep. And we also will, I think, learn a little bit more about Irina later in this episode that might also shed some light on why she feels so sympathetic to Tanya.
Yeah. So, meanwhile, Sergei, in a cell, because remember, he had that samizdat, you know, it just thoughts that are not allowed. And as he's sitting in the cell, I think to myself, look, what's really going on here? Because we know that the chief designer, Korolev, was like sticking it to Ludmilla last week. And she feels vulnerable because she got called to Moscow. And this is her lashing out. She has decided, because this is the truth of all of these totalitarian systems, right? The point is, everything's illegal. And right. So what ends up happening is, it's who you exert the legal and police control on that matters. Anybody could be arrested for anything at any time. So who gets arrested is a decision. It's like, we can arrest anybody at any time. That's how totalitarianism works.
It's a bit crap rolls downhill, right? Like, you know?
Yeah. So she decides she's going to arrest Sergei, who's the precious engineer of the chief designer, in order to exert her authority back at him when he talked back to her, because he's the chief designer and she's just the security person who failed at her job. And even though this has nothing to do with that, and I would argue is a stupid move, because she's wasting her energy on a thing that doesn't matter as a distraction. But I think she's lashing out because she feels a little bit trapped, because Moscow is watching. And now the chief designer is like, I don't need to be under your thumb. You're the one who screwed this up. So she's like, let me remind you that I can arrest your people at any time. Even if, again, it's counterproductive to the mission.
Right, right. Because if the space program falls behind and the chief designer gets called in, he's like, you arrested my best engineer.
And it doesn't turn the heat
on her either.
It doesn't turn the heat down on her. So but I get it, because she's lashing out. I like it. This is the way you see that Ludmilla feels the pressure, is because she's acting like she's strong here, but she's weak. She's doing this because she's weak.
It's the only power she can exert. Again, I mean, not unlike Tanya, like, a lot of this is about what is under your control in this walled off city.
I can punch down. So chief designer shows up and he's like, what do you want to Ludmilla? And who knows what, you know, what the deal is in particular, but it's like, he gets released. Chief designer's there to pick him up. And he's like, oh, you gave her something. He's like, this doesn't make me feel better. You've compromised your integrity in order to get me out of jail. And he's like, life is compromised, sir. Okay.
I love that. I wrote that line down. I love that line. He kind of just looks like, he's like, you know, I'm older than you. I've been around the block a few times.
You don't think that I do? This is my job. is to do stuff like this. This is how I've gotten where I am. Like, what are you talking about? But he's so, yeah, because he's so idealistic. He's like, oh, you compromised your integrity for me because I was stupid. And he's like, eh. And yeah, you get the sense, obviously, from Korolev that he's like, look, this is just how the game is played. I, you know, she's lashing out. She's picking on one of my people. I give a little. She takes a little. She takes a little. I give a little. Whatever. Let's just go on. Because I think ultimately he's like, I'll do whatever. Let's just go on with the work. The work is all that matters. Right? That's yep. That's his. And he's like, I'm going to try to shield you people from it as much as I can. I'm the one playing the highest stakes political game here because I'm doing the work that pleases the Politburo. And I have to find a way to make that work. Because if I don't please them, it's great that I please them because it gives me a lot of latitude. But if I don't please them, it's very bad for me. So this is the game he's playing at the very high level. And this is only a part of it. So life is compromised, Sergey. Carries a lot of weight there. It's great. I've seen some things, kid. Don't worry about it. I gotcha. Sasha, because we remember we left Sasha and Belikova after the visit to the Dasha of the bath professor, or whatever, shooting off
bottle rockets.
Yeah. Sasha picks her up, takes her back, and then they have sex, right? And like, okay. He's looking at her. She's sleeping. It's like their first really marital moment because they were forced together. It was a marriage of convenience of the state. But then she wakes up and he's packing because he has a training exercise. He says long-term confinement in Siberia. And she's like, well, where are you? You know, that's not where you're really going. And he says, you'll be rid of me for 9 months. And I thought, well, let's see. They slept together and now he's gone for 9 months. I wonder what will happen next.
Welcome, Leonid Polivanov.
Yes, I hope you have a good time as the governor of Mars. Anyway, he won't.
Nope.
And then she lashes out at him, and you know says, "You'll find another whore when you get back, or whatever." It's like, or you'll have a baby.
I wrote a note here, which was, "I'm rooting for these crazy kids."
I know, right? Well, I mean, it is actually kind of weirdly romantic. It's a weird meet cute. It's a very weird meet cute of we are. Forced together and hate each other, and then one night maybe it changes.
It's a romance trope, right? I mean, I feel like it's well executed here because he is the, you know, he is the gallivanting cad, except he's got a heart of gold.
With a heart of gold.
Yeah, and she's, you know, like kind of the driven and kind of standoffish woman who's like, I want to keep going to space and I believe in the country and everything. I don't have time for you. You're a jerk.
Yeah, it's a classic romantic comedy trope of like she's all like, especially like classic Soviet like 50s. She's got so many like opinions and things. It's very, you know, very classic 50s romance of like, oh, she's feisty. She's got opinions and things. Somebody needs to. She's not going to make a very good wife. And because she is, she's very.
So he says he's going to Siberia, Anastasia. Which I like.
Yeah,
Siberia
or Venus. Back at the typing pool, Irina is magnetizing the section where she, you know, talks about that she's going to magnetize the section. Frenemy is watching.
Frenemy is watching. Lingering looks. Yeah. I did wonder. Because she's already done this once, and you feel like I kind of like that because the risk is not in just being caught in the moment doing this, but the risk is also like if she keeps having tapes where things are missing, like people are going to start asking questions about that eventually.
But there's also going to be tape failures and silence and stuff like that. And I think the implied here is that this kind of stuff happens all the time, and it's one of the cracks in the system, and everybody's looking at their own tape machine unless they are. The frenemy, but again, if you are calling people on what they do, you are risking putting yourself at risk. And I think in a system like this, most likely people are not going to watch. They're not going to ask questions. Yeah. They're just going to keep doing it. So she's taking advantage of that, but she is being watched.
We see that later too. Actually, she uses that to her own advantage.
Yeah. So she asks to see the day pass records. So she gets authorization to go get the day pass records because, as we see in the next scene, I might as well cover that now. She. Takes a copy of the day pass while she's browbeating this poor guy who's like, the guy didn't have a day pass. She's like, look again. He's like, all right. And she stamps the things and does all of this and takes a carbon copy because she needs to forge the signature. And the whole idea here is to create a day pass for Tanya so she can get out of Star City and escape. So great. And that guy, I'll keep your incompetence to myself. That poor guy, like,
Are you saying Colonel Rescova was mistaken?
What? No, no, I would never say that.
No,
I like how the clerk starts as like very like I'm the most important person in this. You know, the power dynamic shifts. Right, I'm the person controlling this relationship, and it suddenly flips, and all of a sudden he's like, I am not at all the person controlling this relationship.
Let's see. So we skipped over.
My favorite scene in this episode. Well, one of my favorite scenes in this episode.
It is the, hey, you're going to Venus. Here's what you're going to do. You're all going to, first off, we're going to use the bathysphere to hide you on the way to Baikonur. And by the way, you're also going to need to exercise because nobody's ever been gone this long in space. So you're going to need to exercise. You're going to have a whole plan. Good luck, crew.
This my favorite scene where Pavel, our third cosmonaut, along with Comrade Shada and Sasha, is as well. I'm the senior person here, so I should be the person to go out in the service and plant the Soviet flag.
Yeah.
Chada says, it's 460 degrees Fahrenheit. You will burst into flames.
Burst into
which
flames.
Just made me laugh out loud because I thought to myself, I wrote somewhere, Pavel is a jerk.
Yeah.
He's going to die. And he doesn't exactly die, but yes, Pavel is a jerk who is going to get written off, and we'll see that momentarily.
I haven't yet come, as I watched this episode, I hadn't yet come to that realization that of what was going to happen, but...
The pieces are all laid out. They do a great job of like dropping them all. So So
here comes Valya back from Moscow. He berates the guard because he's late by 40 minutes or whatever. He's like, come on, do you want to hold this up? I'm a cosmonaut, whatever. And he's like, all right, I'll let you
know who I am. He pulls a do you know who I am?
Lakshmi is struggling with equipment tests and like they're trying to do landing simulations and all of that. Sasha puts in a pitch for Anastasia for Bilikova, right? To you should use her. She's really good. And Korolev's like, are you kidding? They watch her like a hawk. Her protection guy spends more time with her than he does with his family.
I like that guy.
Because it's like, and he's not, the argument isn't that she isn't more qualified. The issues are twofold. One is, the whole point here is we need people who won't be missed. And then the other point is Lakshmi is the one who knows how to keep the oxygen working so you don't die.
Yeah. So she's the only person who can do this.
Yes.
So
yes, that's why I hired her, is to send her to Venus. Tanya is sad sitting in the dark in her apartment because, again, she's facing the end of her life at Star City and her life with Valya. But she leaves. She finds Irina on a path in the woods. She says, some things are starting to make sense. And she says, I will help you. You go here, take this pass. There's an address in there and a key. And then you wait there for me and I will get there and I will help you get out of the country. And she's like, out of the country. And she's like, there is nowhere to hide from the KGB, basically. And she says, in a great moment, what will happen to Valya? And she's like, honey,
forget about him.
Don't think about him.
Yeah. He is basically dead to you.
Yeah. Why are you doing this? She's like, you should go. And it's like, why is she doing this? We will find out maybe why psychologically she has reacted this way to this relationship in a bit. So she types up her report. She's got the details, everything she is going to. This is the I've dotted my I's and crossed my T's or whatever it is in Cyrillic so that the whole thing about like, I got your mole. I did all the research. I did all the speculation. I figured it out. Here it is. Cause she doesn't want to do a half-ass job this time when she goes and hands this in to Ludmilla. Bad timing actually for the frenemy to make her move, playing video of her talking to her. Is it her eyes? Is it the way she smells? There's like all these recording, or it's not videos, the recordings. And it's like, you befriended her. I gotcha. You're not supposed to do this. You broke protocol. And I like that moment of like, why? Is it her eyes? Is it the way she smells? Is she? And it's the worst time for it, right? Because she's like, no, actually, I'm doing my job. I was being thorough, contacting the subjects and of my investigation and the suspects. Here's my report. He's the mole. Yeah. I'm sure of it. And it's like,
how the tables turn.
And the frenemy's like, but she broke protocol. And And that's not going to work with Ludmilla.
The rules versus initiative, right? This is where we see also this part of the system, right? It's like, yes, the system has very carefully laid out rules, but you can kind of get away with breaking those rules.
Yeah. If you're the people who apply the rules, you choose who gets the rules applied to them, and it's not you. It's pretty simple. So apologize. No, really. Call yourself an infantile rat.
Great scene. I really liked, you see the twitch in her rival's mouth as she realizes the ground is collapsing underneath her.
Because she's just being a snotty, she's not following protocol. Yeah. I'm going to get her.
She's been jealous of her basically since the beginning,
since
the beginning. Because she became the favorite.
Yeah.
And that, galled her.
I just, after this, I mean, I don't think she can even go back to the typing pool. I mean, I feel like this is, Irina's leveling up, and I don't even know what bathroom in front of me is going to be scrubbing.
I'm impressed because, you know, it also feels at the same time like she seems lucky potentially to not be.
We've
seen cosmonauts deals with this.
Women cosmonauts have been shot in for less than this.
For less, yeah.
But she doesn't. She doesn't. She just gets sent back to her desk. And like Ludmilla's like, it seems I underestimated you again. We need to find him now. This is the next step. We got to do this. And she's like, well, we could ask the chief designer. She's like, he's just going to get in the way. We can't do that.
Yeah, well, I already spent that capital.
Yeah, I did that. Right. Yeah. Exactly. So.
And I like this scene because she says, handle it quietly. And this sets up an amazing like bait and switch for the audience, I think.
Yeah. So Valya is going through the plans one more time. He's like, in some ways it's easier up there in space. Your wife is waiting for you outside. And I'm like, oh, is this a trap? No.
Exactly.
It's
just a moment. It's a beautiful moment because he seems confused. He's like, really? She's here? Like... And you see him, he's genuinely confused about this. And so that is why all of us in the audience are like, no, don't do it. They're going to arrest you.
But it's not. It's Tanya.
But it's not. It's actually her.
Who didn't go because she does care about him enough that she's just not going to run away. And she says, they know. And it seeps into him. He's like, what are you talking about? I don't even know. They know about what you've done. And he's like, she says I can put marks on this wall and go to this place and they'll extract us. And she's like, forget it. I don't trust you anymore. And he says, what we know is coming, which is, I did this for you, which we understand why he says that. She's just like, what are you talking about? You destroyed my life. You destroyed our life.
I love this scene. These two actors do a great job here. I love Adam Negatis, who plays Valya. Oh, yeah. I just, the everything he goes through on his face as he like, first they're like, she's like, they know. And he's like, what are you talking about? Like tries to like, first of all, I think he doesn't get it. Then he tries to play dumb. Then it like crashes in on him and you can see everything collapse. And then he panics, right?
Yeah.
Because he's like, no, there's a procedure. It's too late for all of that. He's already in Star City, right? Like, and this is where I feel like this episode really cranks into high gear.
It does. And you get to see every moment of him lowering his various barriers of deniability until he gets to the core of it. And then, you know, I'm not leaving without you. And she says, don't touch me. Right. Like this is the last straw. And at this point, I wrote in my notes, maybe he could be the first man on Venus.
I had that a couple bits ago back when Sasha is trying to tell Stasi to tell the chief that Anastasia should be there.
Right.
I wrote my parentheses, Valya is going to end up on the mission somehow. Right.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So the soldiers come to their apartment with dogs. He's running around
quietly,
and he's running around with dogs. They're not quietly. Yeah, exactly. Soldiers are fanning out.
I love this move, this whole segment, because again, great job of him seeing increasingly panicked and worried. And also, I love that he is like, he's not trained in this, right? He is just trying to find a way out. He goes to the fence. He's like, nope, there's too many guys with dogs. Then I love this shot. He sees like a guy loading a laundry van.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, laundry van. And then immediately that guy is like taken by like the soldiers, like go through all the laundry.
The laundry. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The walls are closing in. He doesn't know what to do. And then he runs in to our not as good cosmonaut, our kind of lacking cosmonaut, who's complaining as he smokes a cigarette that he's going to spend 9 months locked in that jar. And this is when Valya's like, ding. They're like, cut back to they're trying to load the bathysphere and get out of there. It's like, where is he? They're like, well, there's heightened security. He's like, we need two pilots. They're rounding people up. And guess what?
The whole mission's going to go. Yeah,
I'll go in his place. What choice have we got? Nobody knows where he is.
Well, he even says he says he got arrested.
Oh,
he says Pavel get he's arrested. They're rounding people up, right?
That's right. That's right.
And again, it's a great play, right? Because the chief and Ludmilla, he's like, oh, that she's out of control, right? Like she's just
doing it again,
flailing, doing all this stuff. So yeah, of course we're gonna. This is our only chance, right? This is the only opportunity we have. We'll miss the window. Like we need to get it out of here to get it to Baikonur in time.
Yep. So they give him a hug, and then we see that Pavel is tied up in the basement or somewhere, who knows where, where nobody can hear him, and he's kicking the door, and he's that they can't hear him. So that's going to be a real interesting follow up later. Tanya then arrives, presumably in Moscow at the safe house that was the address and the key that she got from Irina, and I was thinking, you know, maybe she should have gone and put the marks on the wall.
Yeah, sure.
Since he specifically said where to do that.
That might still happen.
It might still happen.
If she remembers, although it's like in the heat of the moment, I don't remember where to put the marks. So yeah. Who knows?
Yeah. It's a very large apartment with like
it's a very huge expensive
dining
apartment.
Room. Like it's huge.
Yeah. And this is like, it looks like an apartment in like Paris in like the 1920s or something.
And then she sees a picture. And the picture seems to be of a young Irina and a young man with Brezhnev.
Yep. I immediately noted, like, I wasn't sure. I paused it. I was like, is that Brezhnev?
And so the strong implication here is the man who treated her terribly and was the father of her child is Brezhnev's son? Nephew, something really high up and tied to the leader of the Soviet Union.
Yeah, I was fascinated because I don't know. I guess he did have a son. We don't, but yeah, it is kind of fascinating to see that. Like, I had a feeling it was connected to someone important, but we don't really, you know, we got that whole scene where the audio drops out. And we didn't learn anything else. So
right, because she erased.
Yeah, fascinating.
She erased that part. So, and again, it doesn't necessarily have to be Brezhnev's son. It really could be his nephew or something.
Right.
But it's
right.
Like, obviously, this is a like family gathering with Brezhnev and Irina. And so the strong implication is whatever ugly thing is in her past and that is the father of her child is
connected. Yes.
Connected to at the highest possible levels of the Soviet Union.
Which explains why Tanya's like, oh, crap.
Yeah, right. But also explains, I think, to us why she would have, that Irina would feel a connection to a woman who was connected to a man who had a place that led her life to be kind of like walled off or wrecked in this way.
Right, exactly.
This is the connection she feels, Irina feels, with Tanya.
Yeah, I like that. I like that we're slowly pulling back the curtain here a bit on this and trying to figure out, like, what is Irina's story? And we've got another piece of the puzzle, even if we don't have quite the entire puzzle yet.
Meanwhile, they're smuggling out the satellite to launch at Baikonur, which is actually the bathysphere and the thing that they're in that's got... They're not in the bathysphere, though. They're in, like, a thing that's got holes that you can shine a light into. Anyway, whatever it is, that's their way out. They're in the equipment, and a security guard obviously is going to scan all that, even though it's the chief designer. I feel like this is a thing where they shine the lantern when they brought the bathysphere back from Moscow of... Yep. Even the chief designer is going to get inspected. Like, it's not a get out of jail free card for the chief designer. Yep. He's going to get his stuff inspected. But, you know, it's a cursory flashlight inspection along with the intimidation of, like, we got to get this out. This is very important. This is the satellite. He's like, okay. Finds a dead rat. Okay. And they're out. and they got out. So the Valya's improvised plan to knock the other cosmonaut on the head and take his job going to Venus. I mean,
nailed
it. Doesn't solve his problem as much as it defers it.
Kicks it down the road. And this is exactly, yeah. I'm kind of fascinated where we're going with this because, like you said, like now he is trapped with Sasha and Chandra for 9 months.
Yeah.
You know, is the possibility of success, right? Like, this is what the chief is counting on. He's counting on the fact that it's like, it's better to ask forgiveness than permission. Yeah. And by the time we do this, it doesn't matter because we'll have proved our point and they won't punish us.
It will make us look great.
We showed up the Americans.
Yeah.
And so, you know, is that going to play out for Valya? Probably not, because he's still a spy, but like then they are going to struggle with he's a public figure.
Yeah. And how much do the people on the mission know? And does
exactly.
Valya know
does
anything
Sasha
about what's going on?
Yeah.
Presumably
yeah.
not. And that's also kind of an interesting tension. And how does the chief designer find out is very interesting. I also still wonder, when they talk about the bathysphere, if the way this is actually ultimately going to go is that that's what Valya is going to do. Is he is going to be the first man on Venus, knowing he's going to die
briefly
there because he can't come back. But he could go down.
Yeah.
And say,
I think that there's a possibility. I mean,
it's possible.
Again, we don't, I think as we said in previous weeks, we don't know from For All Mankind anything about this
Lots
mission.
Of holes in the early For All Mankind lore about the space race that this show is fitting right into. So I think on purpose. One last stop back at Star City. Belakova discovers that Sasha's left an envelope behind for her, these envelopes that people are leaving behind. And he says, I'm sorry for leaving. You know, something about, you know, giving them the chance and like, and he says, you deserve better than me. It's a kind, heartfelt letter from Sasha to her, which is really interesting.
Yeah. I like that. Cause we saw previously the scene where they all have to write the letters.
Yes.
And he's like,
we'll write it for
has,
you if you need to.
Yeah. Exactly. They do it for him because he doesn't really know her. They've gotten married, forced to get married, etc. And now he does have feelings for her. And so, you know, again, we've been presented with these two kind of parallel couples, right? With Valya and Tanya and Sasha and Anastasia. And as, you know, Valya and Tanya's life has disintegrated, Sasha and Anastasia's life has gotten tied only closer together. So while Valya may not have any reason to come back, Sasha does have a reason to come back, especially if, as you conjecture, you know, she becomes pregnant. And now he's thinking to himself, I got to get home. I got a family. So they'll have these competing sort of drives as they are, you know, figuring out what's going, like how to get to Venus.
Yeah, exactly. And that's our final scene is we launch and they're on their way to space. Cause remember, this is also a show about space, not just spy stuff.
Space.
Spy stuff and space. It's both. So here we go. Off to Venus, I guess.
Off to Venus.
So good tense. I mean, the mole is discovered and has a very For All Mankind, I will say, solution, which I what I love about these shows is that you have those moments where you're like, they're really going to do that? They are. All right, let's do it. Yep. Knock a guy on the head and say, I'll go to Venus. Okay.
Yeah. Oh. I mean, the best of, you know, bad options.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah. And I seriously, I mean, he's not thinking that far. He's just trying to survive today, right? Just survive today.
Yeah.
He doesn't have a grand plan of how he's going to get out of this. And maybe he can't get out of this, but he's going to spend 9 months not in this.
Right. Yeah. Kick that can way down the road.
And if he does end up having to sacrifice himself to save his fellow cosmonauts or whatever, I'm betting he will do that because he knows that he's probably a
poor
dead man when he gets back.
Poor Sasha, though. I mean, like, having already lost his cosmonaut pal in the last mission.
Right.
This is really going to do a number on his head there.
That's tough. This is the story. Is they're not afraid to lose cosmonauts. All right. Well, on to next week, then. There's three more episodes of Star City to go. So we'll be back next week to talk about whatever happens next on the way to Venus, I guess. And also, presumably, Pavel will you know, be discovered, and yes. There's a lot more, a lot of wild stuff to go on. What will Ludmilla say to the chief designer about the if and when she discovers where her spy is?
Yeah, that's bring him to me. Well,
how much
I'd
time
love
you
to,
got?
But...
Yeah. All right. We'll be back next week to talk about all of that and everything else. Until then, do svidaniya, Dan.
Do svidaniya, Jason.